This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio 1428. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave broadcasting. On this edition, recorded September 30th, VOA closing services and Taiwan 2. New broadcasts for Darfur, election specials from CBC and VOA, domestic broadcasting news from Maine to California, Guatemalans off the air and Sophia 2. New frequencies for RNI, Biafra, Vatican, program tips from Canada, UK, and Russia, and the propagation outlook. One of the most sought-after shortwave radio countries is Greenland. There have been conflicting reports the last couple of years about whether there are still relays on shortwave of domestic radio in Greenland. Well, here's another report indicating they are still active. In shortwave bulletin, Stig Adolfsson in Sweden reported hearing on September 23rd at 2015 UT Amasalik radio on 3815.0. He says, "I've heard it a few times lately. It's on upper sideband and weak, still disturbed by Russian stations." Thanks to Thomas Nielsen, editor of SWB, for translating what he said. Mauno Ritola added in Cumbradiex, "Heard also here tentatively in Finland at 2045 UT, September 28th. A weak USB signal, not possible to measure the exact frequency, but best readable around 3814.96. The World Radio TV Handbook shows this as 200 watts and on the air only briefly from 2100 to 2215 UT, but that's the winter timing while DST exists. It's one UT hour earlier from 2000 to 2115, presumably. And there's another 75-minute broadcast earlier in the day at 1500 or in the summer at 1400. But, of course, the later one we have a better chance of hearing once there is a bit of darkness beginning to develop on the path eastward toward Europe, if not westward toward North America. Theoretically, we'll have a better chance of hearing this if it is still on the air in midwinter, around the shortest days of the year. Kent D. Murphy in West Virginia reminds us of what he calls a fantastic rock and roll music program on shortwave, Randy Bachman's Vinyl Tap. It's on the CBC Northern Quebec service, 9625, for 2 hours, starting after the news Saturdays at 23 UT. He says, Randy Bachman of the Guess Who Bachman Turner Overdrive fame plays great tunes and delves into rock and roll history, giving facts and telling personal stories along the way. A can't-miss program for anybody who loves rock and roll. And of course, it is on CBC Radio 1, also available five different times, or I guess only four different times, each Saturday evening via webcasts. Following last week's report that Radio Canada Internal would be discontinuing English to Europe on shortwave, Craig Christ contacted Bill Westenhaver at RCI, Audience Relations, for clarification. He says, "Yes, we will be dropping English and French on shortwave to Europe at the end of the A08 season. Russian and Ukrainian to Europe will be continuing in the B08 season, as will shortwave to other target areas in the normal languages used for those areas." Chuck Boland in Florida happened to be listening to CBC Radio 1's shortwave relay for Labrador on 6160. September 26th at 2355 UT, when there was a 2 or 3 minute political commentary from the Marijuana Party. Canada started its election campaign season much later than the U.S. and will be ending it much sooner, those lucky Canucks. But this leads to political commentaries. Free political time is required in Canada on CBC and other stations. It depends on the number of votes each party, including minor parties, got in the previous election, as Fred Waterer explains. Not only is there a marijuana party, which gets a little bit of airtime, but the Communist Party, the Marxist-Leninists, the Natural Law Party, and even the Rhinoceros Party, which it seems is not completely serious, but nonetheless is entitled to free airtime since it did get 100,000 votes. As far as I can tell, CBC does not bother to publish on its program schedules when it will be broadcasting these political commentaries, but probably they'll be carved out a few minutes before the news on the hour at certain hours. Voice of America does not feel it necessary either to give any advance warning of its special frequencies for the presidential debates. However, they have been carrying them. They carried the first one anyway, UT Saturday, September 27th, starting at 0100. Since it was the same time of night, I figure there might be some of the same frequencies that appeared without notice for coverage live of the Democratic and Republican conventions. And in fact, they were up on 6080, monitored by Larry Wild in South Dakota. Also, seemingly after 0130 on 9885, but they were not quite able to keep the hookup going. There are two frequencies normally on the air for special English between 0130 and 0200 from Greenville, 6040 and 9820. And I found these, in fact, were carrying part of the presidential debate, but they didn't stay on after 0200, but cut off the debate in the middle. And I found one unlisted frequency. I have no idea what site it was coming from, carrying this as well, 15595. So keep those in mind for further presidential and vice presidential debates and election returns when the time comes. While I was at it, I checked private U.S. shortwave station frequencies, which are on the air in English at the same time, and found not a single one of them preempted regular programming for the presidential debate. However, Sergey S. notes that the live debate was carried in its entirety in English on satellite by France 24. Dragan Lekic heard VOA announce in its Serbian broadcast that all radio in that language would be discontinued completely as of October 1st, not only shortwave but satellite and affiliates, but would continue on television. However, he's been unable to hear one of the VOA Serbian broadcasts because the frequency has been too high. However, nothing was said about cuts on the Croatian service, so the Serbs can still listen to that, although I think they prefer to think of it as a completely separate language. KimAndrelia.com explained that the VOA Serbian, Bosnian, Macedonian, and Hindi services would transmit their last radio broadcast 30 September, but would continue via internet and or TV. VOA Hindi has a weekly report on one network in that country. Serbian and Hindi have been on shortwave until the end, while Bosnian and Macedonian were only via affiliates in their target countries, plus internet radio. The Broadcasting Board of Governors reversed its decisions to eliminate VOA radio in Turkish, Croatian, and Greek. RFERL radio broadcasts continue in Russian, Georgian, Serbian, Bosnian, and Macedonian. Quite by coincidence, no doubt, with VOA no longer bothering to broadcast Hindi on the radio, the Voice of Russia Hindi service is organizing a conference in New Delhi for radio listeners and friends of the clubs at the Russian Cultural Center in New Delhi. That'll be on November 5th and 6th, according to info via Alokesh Gupta on the DX India group. Furthermore, the BBC issued a press release on just how important the Hindi language is to BBC. While VOA's official press release was worded weaselly, saying that it is restructuring Bosnian, Hindi, Serbian, Macedonian, and Russian broadcasts, which of course were canceled more than 2 months earlier. It says the change in VOA's Russian program delivery reflects the crackdown on independent media and freedom of speech in Russia. Russian government pressure has forced almost all VOA local radio and TV affiliates to drop VOA and other international broadcasts. Shortwave radio listenership has also continued to decline throughout the country, with fewer than 2% of Russians using this medium weekly. Sergey S. replies, note how the anonymous author tries to shift the blame for shutting down VOA's Russian service on uncooperative Russian authorities. Clearly it is a logical breakthrough that should be helpful once BBG decides to shut down VOA's Chinese, Korean, and a handful of other radio services. Strangely enough, according to DX Mix News in Bulgaria, the VOA is actually adding some new transmissions, seemingly in Sudanese Arabic for Darfur, starting September 29th. They are at 03 to 0330 on 4960, 5995, and 11635. 18 to 1830 on 4960, 9650, 11635, and 19 to 1930 on 5880, 9650, and 11635. Transmitter sites are all over the place, from Philippines, Sri Lanka, Germany, Thailand, Sao Tome. Meanwhile, U.S. Senator Sam Brownback has introduced legislation to establish the National Center for Strategic Communications, an agency similar to the now-defunct U.S. Information Agency. This would abolish the existing Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy at the State Department and the Broadcasting Board of Governors. Their functions would be transferred to the new NCSC, where they would be managed by a single director. Kim Andrew Elliott has a lot more about this and his reaction to the proposal. He says if Brownback's new entity would manage U.S. international broadcast directly, then it would probably call for news that accentuates the positive, underplays the negative, and adds lots of pro-U.S. commentary. The audience for U.S. international broadcasting, which collectively is much, much smarter than collectively the decision-makers and experts of Washington, would immediately recognize such a broadcasting effort for what it is, propaganda, and they would tune elsewhere. Sergey S. forwards news from WBCQ.com that the Sunday evening broadcasts of Radio New York International are moving to a different frequency, starting Sunday, October 5th, 5110, replacing 7415. That's at midnight to 0300 UT Mondays. Including October 6th at 0200, Rock the Universe, and October 13th at midnight UT, the entire 3 hours, the Johnny Lightning Music and Phone Call Show. You may not realize it listening to WBCQ on shortwave, but the same station also has AM and FM outlets in Monticello, Maine. In fact, 94.7 there is now on the air with the calls WBCQ-FM, according to Scott Feibusch of Northeast Radio Watch. NAM 780 has changed calls. It's now WXME. Although it's fully licensed by the FCC, the new 94.7 is causing a bit of a problem across the border. Scott says it looks like the CRTC did not fully coordinate because CJRI is on 94.7 in Fredericton, New Brunswick, and experiencing major interference from WBCQ. So CJRI has been granted temporary permission to use 104.5. It seems that Bonneville just can't make up its mind how to jumble up the call signs and formats of its national capital properties. Bill Harms nearby heard the 1050 outlet identifying now as WTOP and saying those who want to hear federal news radio should now tune to 1500, which becomes WFED. This, of course, makes no sense at all since WTOP is now in the middle of the dial rather than the top, whatever its format. Jay Nielsen in the Mayor Tip Sheet reports that 1680 in Ada, Michigan has finally relaunched with its new calls and format, WPRR. They're running Pacifica radio programming and are non-commercial as public reality radio. Standard disclaimer, the media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio number 1428. Check our website for much more info, worldofradio.org. Your comments and contributions always welcome to WORADIO at yahoo.com or P.O. Box 1684, ENID OK 73702, USA. I believe I mentioned before there's a new 50-kilowatt station serving the Fargo, North Dakota market from Dilworth, Minnesota on 1100 kilohertz, WZFG, but there have been few DX reports of it since they began regular programming in early August. In DX News of the National Radio Club, Sean Axelrod in Winnipeg says he heard it testing with a loop of cuts from various talk shows they would carry, adding as AM 1100 The Flag. They were to begin full-time Monday, August 11th. However, Editor Bill Dvorak says the station's tower was struck by lightning during its inaugural program, destroying the transmission line, according to an article on their website. I monitored their live web stream on August 15th and heard a message about it. Because of the lightning strike, it was experiencing technical difficulties and working to return things to normal. It was not clear whether it was even on the air, so I emailed Sean Axelrod again, and he said on August 15th they were on the air, but seemingly with reduced power. A call to the station on September 19th revealed that everything is now back to normal, so look for that big signal from Minnesota with a W call just across from Fargo, especially around sunrise and sunset before they power way down. With lots of advance publicity, KFI 640 Los Angeles was scheduled to start using its reconstructed tower Thursday, September 25th at 5:15 p.m. local. It actually happened around midnight 10 UT, September 26th. They were asking for measurements of the relative signal strength, expected to come in much stronger now that they're back on what was equivalent to their previous tower knocked down by an airplane. However, it appears there was a bit of deception, or at least miscommunication, because, according to the CGC communicator via Kevin Redding, ABDX, just before the switch, they were not operating from the standby tower near the new main tower, but instead from a totally different backup site, which they believe, although KFI wasn't saying much about it, is actually the tower of the 1150 station in Los Angeles, KTLK. In any event, those at a distance should be getting KFI better than they have been for the past year or two, both by groundwave and skywave. Actually, it was 4 years ago that the original tower was knocked down, according to a story in the Whittier Daily News. Last week, we had a report originating from the station itself that Radio Chapingo, the university outlet near Mexico City at Texcoco on 1610, had started 24-hour broadcasts of considerable interest to DX listeners. But according to Thierry Fricot in Mexico City, it's not true. He's been monitoring the frequency, and they're still off the air at night, signing off around 0208 UT, and not signing on until well after sunrise at 1400. We had been hearing Radio Verdad Guatemala 4052.5 just about any evening until sign-off around 0600, with the final hour partly in English. But it suddenly vanished. It seems they had another lightning strike. Magdiel Cruz Rodriguez in Morelos has heard from the station about what happened, unfortunately not giving the exact date, but in spite of having four lightning arresters, it was hit by a lightning bolt which damaged the output modules of the transmitter and some other things. Dr. Edgar Amilcar Madrid was trying to get a professional engineer in to help repair it, but so far was unsuccessful and was trying to do it himself. According to what he told Dino Blasi of Frecuencia Alia via Alberto Marquez de Azevedo in the Radio Escutas group. Bob Wilkner in Florida and I have noted that another Guatemalan has been off the air for several weeks now, Radio Cultural Cuatan on 4780. However, he is still hearing Radio Buenas Nuevas on 4799.7 with an ID at 1135 and an echo chamber effect. However, I find that whenever that station is on, so is XERTA in Mexico producing a heterodyne. 2 weeks after it first appeared on Havana's online transmission schedule, 13680 was finally heard on the air for the English broadcast at 2030 UT, September 28th. I was monitoring it parallel to 11760. Well, not really, because 13680 was running more than 3 minutes later than 11760. The next day, however, they were synchronized. I wonder how that can be explained. 13680 also seems to be on the air for Havana in French at 2200, at which time it is completely covered here by Japan. In the ADX group, via Wolfgang Büschel, Horst Rosiak of HCJB's German service reports that their steerable antenna made its final broadcast from Ecuador September 30th at 0700 on 9740. However, that very special antenna will not be scrapped, but it's going to be dismantled and re-erected at the Kununurra site of HCJB in Australia next year. Brian Clark in New Zealand says he's been hearing the new Bolivian Radio Causachun Coca most nights since September 16th around 1000, but very difficult due to Chile on 6070. Mainly spoken programs of news and politics. He heard a positive ID at 1032. Chuck Boland in Florida says a good time to check for station breaks and IDs is at 1015 UT. Hiroshi via Seichi Hasegawa, NDXC in Japan says, however, there's another station on 6075. Signing on at 1025 UT, it's Yushu PBS in Qinghai, China, in Tibetan, and relaying CNR1 from 1100 since September 20th. Radio Virgen de Remedios, Tupisa, Bolivia, the one that jumps all over the 4 megahertz area, has landed below 4 megahertz, according to one report I received from Ruben Ferais Pedroso in Paraná, Brazil, who heard it on 3985, September 21st at midnight 8 with news in Spanish. The new Brazilian on 9820, still tough to hear in North America, but we have reports of it from elsewhere. Brian Clark in New Zealand measured it on 9819.96. He's been hearing it regularly since September 21st at 0921 with a lively morning program. It seems to be Catholic-friendly with frequent jingle IDs, fair to good strength. Also heard September 23rd at 0300. The morning sign-on time varies considerably. One day it was at 1000 UT, and sometimes there's a Chinese station until 1000, but not every day. Carlos Gonçalves in Portugal was hearing the São Paulo station at 0919 to 955, and also, despite co-channel from Portugal itself, at 1902 to 1910. After using 15280 during July and August, I've confirmed that Voice of Biafra International is back on 17650 for its Friday-only broadcast for 1 hour at 20 UT via WHRI. On September 26th, it was just barely audible here. Last week, I mentioned that Radio Africa had been missing from 15190, but wouldn't you know it, it came back as of September 25th, as late as 2255 UT. As Brian Alexander and Ron Howard note, usually carrying Tony Alamo during the final hour. Lucio Otavio Bobrovich in Brazil notes that the domestic service from Equatorial Guinea, Radio Nacional Bata, was also back on the air September 25th on 5005 until sign-off at 2303. The other station in Malabo is also being heard on 6250 by Brian Alexander and myself around 0540. However, on one day they signed off very early, he says, at 20.05 UT. BBC Monitoring quotes a private Sudanese newspaper that a new radio was to be launched September 27th for Darfur, originating in the Netherlands. Not many details, but Andy Sinnott acknowledges that an organization somehow connected with Radio Netherlands called Press Now is doing this project, but it's not really yet ready to go on the air. It was, however, the reason for the test we heard a few weeks ago from Madagascar at 0300 on 7245. Kai Ludwig points out that the same organization, Press Now, also runs Radio Samanev for Iran, which was on shortwave for a while via Ukraine. DX Mix News Bulgaria says there's a new transmission via Ulish, Germany, for Voice of Oromia Independence in Amharic to Ethiopia. Fridays only at 1730 to 1800 on 15650. And his Senate Media Network reminds us that BBC Radio 4 is launching a new weekly media show October 1st. It'll run throughout the year rather than just part of the year. It's Wednesdays at 1230 UT and on demand for 1 week. I was surprised to hear Vatican Radio at 2230 UT on 7335, a time it is not scheduled on this frequency. Perhaps they just can't wait for CHU to move to 7850. The Sitkunai Lithuania site has been testing a transmission at 1530 to 1730 UT, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday on 3955 aimed eastward. Kai Ludwig suggests it's most likely for Radio Razia, the surrogate service for Belarus, confirmed by DXMIX News in Bulgaria. Via Alokesh Gupta, Moscow Mailbag is a special jubilee program marking 30 years of VOR's world service in English for the week starting September 29th. There are many air times, of course, during the English service. For example, UT Saturday at 03:11, Sunday at 1:11, 6:11, and 15:11. Radio Bulgaria notifies us that because of a technical fault in one of their antennas, for the rest of the A08 season, their broadcasts will be on only one frequency at a time, including English as follows. To North America at 23 and 02 on 11700. To Europe at 0630 on 7200, 1130 on 15700, 1730 on 7200, and 21 UT on 5900. Ron Howard in California reports hearing Zhoushan Maritime Meteorological Radio in China on 3303 upper sideband with a 10-minute broadcast starting at 1401 UT September 30th. They began with a Kenny G instrumental tune and then a woman with maritime weather conditions in Chinese. There's quite a craze for learning English in China. Check out the documentary on CBC's Sunday edition, September 28th. Ron Howard in California notes that the major Chinese domestic radio networks sometimes have segments in English, such as CNR1 on 4460. It was a national news conference about the space mission in Chinese, but also with English translations at 1252 UT. There's also an English evening, special live weekend program he heard on CNR2, 6065 at 1323, about their national holiday. Via remote receiver in the Philippines, Hans Johnson has determined the sign-on times of Laos Samnua Regional Station on 4412.6 variable, 2255 UT, and again at 0924. We've had lots of reports, including from yours truly, about Papua New Guinea and Indonesian stations on 60, 75, and 90 meters during the past week. No time for details, but check the reports in recent issues of DX Listening Digest via worldofradio.com. I've also been enjoying good reception on some mornings of the Northern Territory Australia stations on 120 meters. Usually the best one is on 2485 between 1230 and 1300. Also check 2325 and 2310. Brian Clark in New Zealand says he too has been hearing reactivated Radio Vanuatu on 7260 between 0325 and 0700, except when blocked by Algeria via UK between 04 and 06, a weak signal partly in Pidgin English. The propagation outlook from Boulder issued September 30th, ANK indices peaking at 25 and 5 October 1st, 15 and 4 October 12th, otherwise mostly 5 and 2 through the 27th, and solar flux steady at only 67. That's World of Radio 1428. Glenn Hauser hoping you will hear me again next week.